As an acoustic guitar geek, you're likely on a tone quest for that magical acoustic guitar. You know, the one that where you strum it, you're like, whoa, what just happened? Yes, that guitar. And I feel like when it comes to tone, most often tone woods get talked about. And seldom does bracing get talked about. So today, I'm gonna give bracing the due spotlight that it deserves. I'm gonna share with you bracing's purpose, different types of bracing, different treatments of bracing, and bracing orientation so that next time you read specs or next time you check out a guitar, you can understand why it sounds the way that it does. And even more so, and probably the most important, is when maybe you're designing a custom guitar, you can take this into consideration and start to hopefully mold the sound that you want. So first things first, let's talk about bracing. Why is it even there? Well, we don't see it, so it's kind of hard to pay attention to it, but it serves a very important purpose because without bracing, our guitars would explode, literally. If you look at this top, it's extremely, extremely thin. I mean, really thin. And if you put 80 to 100 pounds of string pressure on this top would crack, fold in, belly up, belly down. It would basically fail, which is why bracing is employed. Bracing allows the top to be as thin as it is, but it gives it some structural integrity so it doesn't fail under the physical pressure. Furthermore, bracing balances that line between a rigid top yet a flexible top so it can vibrate. So ideally, bracing is light yet rigid, so it can provide the structural integrity yet still allow for vibration and sound production. So that's the purpose of bracing, but there's not just one way that bracing is done. Bracing is done in a variety of ways, and I'm gonna go through four of the most popular ones right now. First up, we have X bracing. And X bracing is, well, just like this. You can see the X formed by the two long braces, and that provides a large amount of structure, as well as the tone bars across the lower bout. The other bracing pattern I wanna mention is Taylor's new V bracing. Now, I wanna say this isn't the first time we've seen this bracing pattern, but I will say that this is the first time a major manufacturer has employed a bracing pattern that is as new and as cutting edge as this. And you can see it's vastly different from X bracing. It has two long tone bars that run down the center and then kind of some tone bars that run off the sides a little bit. And what I think this bracing pattern is so good at is providing that rigidness, that stability down the center where all the string pressure is, but allowing the sides or the surrounding of the top to kind of vibrate freely, much like a speaker cone. Next, I want you to look at fan bracing. Now, this is one of those kind of exceptions because fan bracing is nearly never used on a steel string guitar because of the string pressure. Most of the time, you'll see fan bracing employed on classical guitars or guitars that use gut strings. You'll see that there's no real distinct tone bars except for the kind of all the fans that run on that lower bout. And that is the reason that fan bracing is used is because classical guitars are under much less pressure. Gut strings or nylon strings don't exert nearly as much pressure as steel strings do, so you can get away with a much lighter bracing pattern, which is why a lot of classical guitars sound so lively. They're so responsive because they're actually not braced that heavy. And the last bracing pattern that I want to look at is another kind of, I'll call it a mild anomaly. it feels like a medical term, but ladder bracing. I feel like ladder bracing has gotten a lot of attention recently because of the Waterloo series of guitars by Collings, as well as the interest in the old Gibson models, L00 and things like that, where in some cases, ladder bracing was used. And ladder bracing, all that is literally straight tone bars across the top. It doesn't look very fancy, and it's not, but it provides a very distinct tone. In fact, I think you'll see ladder bracing favored by finger-picking blues artists, artists that use finger picks, artists that want a little bit of bark out of their guitar, a little bit of thumpiness, and they wanna play hard. Ladder bracing reacts really well to that. So those are your four basic types of bracing. You've got X bracing, V bracing, fan bracing, and ladder bracing. Now let's move to the treatment of the bracing. So once the actual bracing, once the tone bars are in place, what can be done to further modify the sound? Well, there's really two most popular treatments, and one's really not a treatment at all, and that is just leaving the braces as is, or a straight braced acoustic guitar, versus scalloped bracing, which we'll get to in a second. But straight bracing is essentially having the braces the way they are with no material removed. Now you might be thinking, okay, That's cool. It doesn't sound very interesting. What tonal benefits does that have? Well, straight bracing allows the bracing to be really rigid, and it allows the player with a heavier hand to get a better result out of the guitar. A lot of times when you compare scalloped bracing to non-scalloped or straight bracing, people will say, well, why would you ever even want non-scalloped bracing? Well, if you're a heavier-handed player, you find yourself playing hard, or you want some really distinct volume out of your guitar, straight bracing is actually a huge asset because you can drive it really hard and it'll continue to produce sound. However, if you have a light touch, straight bracing or unscalloped bracing won't react as positively. Conversely, if you look at scalloped bracing, if you've never seen it, kind of looks like, well, the Golden Gate Bridge. Essentially, that straight brace that's in place on the acoustic guitar gets some material removed so that it can retain its structural integrity but be lighter, therefore making the top lighter, therefore making the top more responsive. Why would you want this? Well, if you have a lighter touch, if you want your guitar to kind of exude volume and overtones, scalloped bracing is a huge asset because you don't have to play the guitar that hard. The top is already light because of the scalloping of the bracing, so it's freely producing sound with a much more lighter touch. Now, again, there can be some cons to scalloped bracing because if you are a heavier-handed player, if you hit it too hard, it has this built-in compression. It can only give so much, and if you play it too hard, you'll notice kind of this diminishing return. So that's definitely a question to consider when you're shopping for a guitar or trying to design an acoustic guitar and figuring, gosh, should I just go with the standard bracing or scalloped? Kind of start to dig in and see what kind of player you are, and that might steer you in one direction or the other. Now, the last aspect of bracing that I want to discuss with you today is bracing orientation. Now, you'll hear lots of different buzzwords like forward-shifted, rear-shifted, standard place bracing, and I want to compare everything to standard placement right now. Now, I'm not going to shout out numbers because each manufacturer, each builder may have a subtly different location for standard. But for the sake of comparison and some of the pictures that I'll show you here, I'm going to use standard bracing as our point of comparison. So from standard bracing, we go to forward-shifted bracing. Forward-shifted bracing means that the cross of the X is actually moved towards the sound hole. What this effectively does is it opens up the lower bout of the guitar. Since that bracing is moved up, the lower bout of the guitar is more free to move. And what I've noticed in my playing, any forward-shifted guitar or any forward-shifted bracing guitar that I've ever played freely offers bass. It's much more boomy and it's a little bit more responsive. So there's kind of a fine line. If you do a forward-shifted brace guitar, it can be overly boomy, so be careful with that, but it also might suit your style, so the best thing to do is to try it out. Conversely, we have rear-shifted bracing, where that X is brought from the sound hole down towards the tail block of the guitar. What this effectively does is it tightens up the lower bout of the guitar. Why would you want a guitar with a tighter top? Well, again, if you're a player that really likes to dig in, like let's say you're a flat picker and you want really laser-focused projection, a little bit more mid-treble heavy, if you want a guitar that you can really, really wail on and it still produces sound and it still projects, rear-shifted bracing is actually quite an asset. Even though a tighter guitar seems like, I don't know if I want a guitar that's considered tight, if it actually gets matched with the right player, it can be a great sounding guitar. So bottom line, the reason I wanted to do this bracing talk is because when you go into a guitar store, there's a lot of buzzwords, there's a lot of things that get shouted around, and you might not fully know the impact that they have on tone. Now you at least know the purpose of bracing, you know some different kinds of bracing, you know the treatments of bracing, scalloped or unscalloped, and then the orientation. So you can generally carve out kind of the sense of what you're gonna get out of a guitar just by reading a spec sheet. Now that being said, every guitar is different, so I would encourage you to try all of these different bracing patterns, all of these different bracing orientations, and things like that, because this way you can find something that works for you. Okay, last week on Acoustic Tuesday, I taught you how to hybrid pick. We looked at the Fishman Loudbox Mini, and we had a chance to listen to Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen. This week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to listen to Joy Williams' new album. Will McNichol's going to make a third visit, and there's a first coming up for Acoustic Tuesday. We have our first news segment from the front lines. You're not going to want to miss it. All that and more is going to happen right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 96. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. And this week, I'm excited to dig right in. But first, some very important business, of course, your guitar geek trivia. Here is your question. Where did the UK band UB40 get their band name? Was it A, an offshoot of WD-40? B, the lead singer's father's initials and birth year? C, a government unemployment form? Or D, the underbridge speed limit in the UK? Go ahead and ponder that, and I'll be sure to give you the answer at the end of the show. Now, before we dive into the rest of the Acoustic Tuesday show, I do want you to know that Acoustic Tuesday is brought to you by Tony's Acoustic Challenge. Are you tired of playing the same handful of things over and over? With Tony's Acoustic Challenge, you'll have more fun with your guitar while getting better in the process. This is done with an innovative method I call dynamic guitar learning. Log in every day to find a super fun 10-minute guitar challenge that rotates between the five essential categories of guitar improvement. Here's a recent 5-star review from Bob W. He says, TAC has made all the difference in my playing in two ways. First, by getting me to play every day, and second, to show me the path to playing what I've always wanted, lead guitar. To see why Tony's Acoustic Challenge has a 4.9 star rating from 574 reviews, visit guitarchallenge.com or go ahead and click the link down in the description below. Now, I've got a guitar geek list that you are going to absolutely drool over today, but before I go any further, there is somebody very important that is making the Acoustic Tuesday show flow. It's making the Acoustic Tuesday show interesting. He's none other than Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr., the first. Noah, good morning to you.
Tony, and good morning to you and Acoustic Tuesday viewers around the world.
Cheers to you. Now, one of the things we were talking when we were rehearsing the show today, I was like, Noah, when you first purchased a guitar, or even started playing guitar for that matter, did you even consider bracing, or did you even know that it was there?
Right, we were talking about this morning. You said that like you were going to ask me the question and then answer what I answered you.
Oh, yeah.
right, because the answer to that is bracing. What's bracing? I had no clue what bracing was or that it was even a thing with guitar. Admittedly, I was more of a drummer and bass player, and so when I got into guitar, I was just solely focused on the playing and singing and not really so much about the guitar itself. So when I actually learned something from your bracing class today.
My bracing class. That makes me feel mildly professorial. Well, it's funny that we talked about this today because just a couple weekends ago, Whitney's dad, he started talking about guitars and he's like, gosh, they all sound so different. And I got to thinking, you know, because we initially started talking about Tonewoods. And it's funny because when we talked about Tonewoods, I said, well, you have to consider bracing too. And then the light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, well, I don't know if many people talk about this as much as they should be, because I think bracing impacts the tone of a guitar nearly as much as the Tonewoods used. And that's something, I mean, gosh, when I first started playing guitar, I had no clue. I was just like, yeah, that's a cool looking guitar. That's the one I want to play. But the more and more you play, you realize how different they really are. Now, Noah, with your permission, I'd like to get your mouse finger warmed up and start looking at some videos.
Okay.
If you're okay with that.
I'm ready.
Okay, the first thing on my Guitar Geek list today is a new guitar manufacturer that I just discovered through Will McNichol. And it is, they are Tom Sands Guitars. Now, Tom Sands Guitars are based in North Yorkshire, England. Small bench builder, currently taking orders for 2021. So a considerably long wait list, but I think the wait is well worth it. And I think you'll agree after hearing them. So without further ado, let me introduce to you for a third time, Will McNichol playing a Tom Sands guitar. Thank you. think you'll agree that the guitars sound incredible and they look gorgeous. Now, between the tone woods actually used on Tom's guitars and some of the aesthetic touches, I think you'll see as we go a little bit further here, there's some accents on the back and also the rosettes. I want to specifically look at the rosettes of these guitars because a lot of times he'll use metal for the rosettes. In fact, there was a copper herringbone used on one of the guitars I was looking at on his website, and I just thought, that's brilliant. It's just elegant, it's subtle, it's simple, and it's just classy and gorgeous. So I'm thoroughly impressed with these guitars, both in sound and in looks. And of course, you know, in my head, I'm like, well, if they're good enough for Will McNichol, I mean, that says a lot. So I think the guitars are awesome, and every demo I've heard has been stunning. Now, just a little background on Tom. He got his building background in industrial design and award-winning luxury furniture. And again, I think that shows when you look at the sheer aesthetic of these guitars. And also a major note here, he apprenticed under Irvin Somogyi, who is a luthier who has kind of been really the launching pad for a lot of young hotshot luthiers' careers. And to have some time with such a master like that, I think is invaluable. And I think Tom puts his knowledge to very, very good work. Now, just so you get another sense of what these guitars sound like, I found another video actually done by the Tom Sands Guitars YouTube page. And it's Daisy Tempest singing a song called Eve. And more on Daisy here in a second, but let's have a listen to the song.
She was perfect with her roses free of thorns. Her time upon your hands can breed a paradise of scorn. Earth, she still would tremble, but her insides would be burned. Like a stone that never tells a tale, cause she's never overturned. And you're oh so pretty, but I haven't seen you happy much today. And you're oh so lovely, haven't seen you going your own way. Everything needs fractures just to let in missing lights. The mind that's missing.
As a guitar geek, I was infatuated with the sound of the guitar. As a music geek, I found myself being like, why haven't I heard of Daisy Tempest? I really like her voice, I like her songwriting. I wanna dig in a little bit more. I couldn't find anything. And then I was surfing on the Tom Sands website, and I saw her actually working on a guitar, and I got to thinking, I'm like, gosh, does she work there? Does she do something there? I don't know. The answer is, I don't know. But I did find out this. She seems to be a cartoonist of sorts, and has some pretty funny guitar/luthier-influenced cartoons. So my search turned up empty-handed, kind of, but I really thought that was a treat, kind of a new artist and a new guitar all wrapped into one. Now, last but certainly not least, before we leave Tom Sands Guitars for the day, I do want to encourage you to check out his YouTube channel. There are so many videos on his YouTube channel that show kind of a behind-the-scenes building process. He might be trying out, you know, a new router. He might be showing how to build something. He might be showing a cool piece of tone wood. He also has a ton of videos on specific models that he's built. And that alone is hours worth of your time. I mean, I'm telling you, just pour yourself a nice glass of bourbon, sit down at night, and just watch one after the next and be inspired because the guitars are stunning. But he also does this segment called The Week This Week. Now, I don't know if this is a regular segment. It seems to be maybe once a month, maybe once a week. I'm not totally sure. But he kind of goes over what he's been working on for the week, what's done, what's getting shipped out, and what's in process. And I found one that I want to share with you. So without further ado, here's Tom.
That was rubbish. Welcome to The Week This Week. Stay there. Oh my goodness. Model S, Italian spruce, filled about mahogany, Wenge neck, finished, done. This thing kicks ass. I'm really pleased with it. It's gonna be going out to Singapore pretty soon, unless somebody snaps it before then. If you want it, call Tommy. You can also call Marcus at the Golden Era Guitar as well. Just FYI. Finishing up the binding work on the what's this? Koa, Model L, 12 fret, fan fret. It's right to see this. Oh yeah. Making up a bunch of necks. We've got some black walnut, gonna be cool. Also got some Honduran mahogany, one piece neck blanks. Pretty sure that's a bullet hole. Yeah. That's it for now. See you next Monday.
To learn more about Tom Sands and his beautiful guitars, please visit acousticlife.tv/1896. You're going to see links. You can watch those full videos. You could get a link right to his website. And again, I want to encourage you to check out his website. There's some stunning photographs on there and some really cool shots from inside the shop. Furthermore, if you dug the Tom Sands guitars and you're thinking, I like this small bench luthier stuff, I want to encourage you to check out episode number 50 where we featured Beauregard guitars. Definitely a small bench luthier that if you've not heard of him or maybe have just heard the name floating around out there, do a deeper dive because Mario Beauregard builds some amazing instruments. I had a chance to try Antoine Dufour's and I was like, whoa. And again, that was episode 50. For those of you diligently taking notes during the show. Now, speaking of the show, I want to know what you think of the show, so please leave a comment below. And please, if you have not yet subscribed to the Acoustic Life YouTube channel, it's super simple. Just go hit that red subscribe button. And don't forget to click that little gray bell. That'll give you a notification of each and every new video that gets released so you don't miss out on any of the guitar geeky goodness. And one more very important favor that I have to ask of you. I want you to help other guitar geeks discover the show. And the easiest way you can do that is to simply like the Acoustic Tuesday show. As you're watching it right there on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button because that lets the YouTube robots, people, who knows, it lets them know that, hey, guitar geeks like the show. We should share this with other guitar geeks. So the more likes, the more guitar geeks get united, and that's the whole point of the Acoustic Tuesday show in the first place. So again, leave a comment, let us know where you're tuning in from. Please subscribe if you haven't already, and don't forget to like this episode, or past episodes for that matter, if you really, really liked them. Now, moving on, this is an Acoustic Tuesday first. We are creating history here together, you and I. This is exciting because we have our first news segment. Yes, from the front lines of the acoustic guitar industry, I'm going to put us in somewhat of a rocket ship, and I'm going to take us all the way to Las Vegas so we can visit Brendan from Heartbreaker Guitars and his trusty pal, Toby. So without further ado, here's Brendan.
Thanks, Tony. Hey guys, what's going on? It's Brendan from Heartbreaker Guitars, and I am in the Heartbreaker Lounge with my pal, Toby the Beagle here, and we are reporting from the front lines of Acoustic Tuesday, all small bench luthier news that you need to know. So first off, McPherson guitars. McPherson's got a brand new carbon fiber series that's coming out, so we're gonna hit on that. Second, we've got Loudon guitars. Everybody's clamoring for the Sheeran Loudon guitars. We're gonna update you on that. And finally, Santa Cruz Guitar Company. We've got a killer collaboration with two legendary luthiers coming from Santa Cruz, California. So we'll update you on that as well, guys. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, starting off with McPherson guitars. By now, you've probably all heard about the Carbon Fire series that they do. They're incredible, indestructible, weatherproof. You can take these things anywhere. So they've got two patterns currently. They've got the standard original pattern. They've got the honeycomb pattern, which recently came out about a year ago. I think they released it at NAMM. And finally, they've got the brand spanking new one, which is the basket weave pattern, and it's really cool. McPherson Guitars is just doing a fantastic job with their carbon fiber series. I do recommend checking them out. And next on deck, we've got Loudon guitars. Guys, by now you've probably heard that George Loudon has come up with a brand new inexpensive design called the Sheeran model that he built in conjunction with recording artist Ed Sheeran. Anyway, it's based on two different sizes. We've got the W or the W size and the S size, a little bit bigger than the W. This is the one that you actually see Ed Sheeran playing all the time on stage. Anyway, these guitars are ranging between $800 and $1,200, a far cry from the $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 price tag you normally see with Loudon guitars. And let me tell you guys, I don't know how he did it, but George Loudon has delivered an incredible guitar for, again, $800 to $1,200. Amazing. In order to cut costs, basically what he's done is he's done a laminate back and sides instead of the solid wood. He's done a single piece neck instead of five layer. The tuners are a little bit less expensive. And basically, other than that, he's just very much streamlined the design. But it's really exciting news because they're being built in Ireland where his team and his crew can oversee all aspects of production. So guys, this summer, look out for the Sheeran guitars by George Loudon. Okay guys, and I've saved the best for last. I've got a huge story coming out of Santa Cruz, California. We've got legendary luthiers Rick Turner
of Rick Turner Guitars and Richard Hoover of Santa Cruz Guitar Company have collaborated to come up with a twin set of guitars that they are building for NAMM Release 2020. And man, this is exciting, you guys. We've got the classic Rick Turner Model 1, made famous by Lindsey Buckingham, and a Santa Cruz Guitar Company fingerstyle guitar. Now, this is not the fingerstyle edition right here, but that's the guitar they're going to be using. They're going to be building them in tandem with similar specs, similar tone woods, and the name of the guitar is going to be called Legends 100, okay? The 100 represents the 100 years of luthier experience that the two of them put together have had in their lifetime. And man, this is going to be a cool project, you guys. So look out for Legends 100 from Rick Turner Guitars and Santa Cruz Guitar Company coming next winter. And speaking of Santa Cruz Guitar Company, Richard Hoover has just let us know that they're releasing a whole new set of strings. The Santa Cruz Guitar Company guitar strings have been a huge success, and now they're releasing three new styles, the Dadgad, the Baritone, and the 12 string, all coming soon. So do look out for the new strings from Santa Cruz Guitar Company. Guys, it's Brendan and Toby the Beagle signing off from Las Vegas, Nevada. Go Knights, go! And we look forward to connecting with you next time. Thanks for watching. Back to you, Tony.
All right, I want to thank Brendan and Toby for putting together such an awesome news report. And I have to say, I'm so excited about this because a little birdie told me we might be getting our monthly news report from those two fine folks, Brendan and Toby, and everybody else from Heartbreaker Guitars for that matter. I think they do a fantastic job. And I have to say that if you're in the market for a custom-built acoustic guitar, if you're in the market for some of these small bench luthiers that we talk about, Heartbreaker Guitars has a stellar offering. So please check them out online, heartbreakerguitars.com. Give Brendan a call, tell him you saw him on the Acoustic Tuesday show, and just talk shop with them because the guy is a major guitar geek. We've been sharing emails about this news segment and it's like, I mean, it's literally a you know you're a guitar geek when. You know you're a guitar geek when you're trying to design a news segment for the Acoustic Tuesday show and you just go off on these tangents about guitars. So again, please contact Brendan. And to learn more about Heartbreaker Guitars, we actually featured them way back on episode 40 of Acoustic Tuesday, so you can check that out as well. I think you'll be super impressed with what they have to offer. And they even do like open mics there, and they're just right. They're always on the cutting edge of new stuff. And I'm so excited. In fact, those McPherson carbon fiber guitars, I think those look awesome. The patterns that they use, I think they look stunning.
Yeah, I like the honeycomb.
I like the honey. I was like, ooh, that's pretty awesome. And then also that kind of collaboration between Rick Turner and Santa Cruz Guitar Company, like the combined luthery experience. Mm. I'm super pumped. So I can't wait to hear from Brendan next. And again, thank you to everybody at Heartbreaker Guitars for being part of the Acoustic Tuesday family. Welcome. Now, next up, I've got an artist that I cannot wait for you to hear, and your Guitar Geek trivia answer is coming. But first, Noah notified me, and he looked at me, and he held up three fingers, and he said three. And I was like, what? And he said, you've said without further ado three times. So there's a new drinking game with Acoustic Tuesday. As soon as I say without further ado, you just got to take a slug. Now, Noah did say he's going to edit him out, I think, but I'm not sure. I can't tell if he'll be able to.
I guess you'll just have to wait till it airs and you watch the episode.
Every time I say it, it's like I say it and I'm like, oh, gosh, I want to say something different. Well, let's move on to the artist of the week. This week's artist of the week comes from Athelstane, Wisconsin. Well, not the artist. The recommendation does. The recommendation comes from Athelstane, Wisconsin, from my father, Steve P., and I got to tell you, this recommendation came in a very interesting form. I got an email, and it said the subject was Joy Williams.
I don't know if we have enough time for you to share this email.
Well, it's it was pretty verbose, I have to say. It said, have you heard Joy Williams' new album? No hi, no like salutation, no sign off.
And that just was the subject line too, wasn't
yeah.
it?
So anyways, I want to thank my dad for recommending Joy Williams because I knew of Joy Williams, obviously, from the Civil Wars. She was half of the duo that was the Civil Wars, John Paul White and, of course, Joy Williams. And she branched out on her own, and I knew of some other solo stuff that she did, which we'll get to a little bit later, but I didn't know she was releasing a new album. And here, you know, back in May 2019, fairly recently, she released this album entitled Front Porch. And just so you get a sense of what the vibe is of this music, let's listen to, I think it's song one on the album, entitled Canary. Joy is originally from Santa Cruz, California, and I believe she now lives in Nashville, which explains the connection to the bass player that I keep seeing. More on that here in a second, but this new album by Joy Williams is entitled Front Porch, and check it out. Front Porch was produced by Kenneth Pattengill from the Milk Carton Kids, from the Milk Carton Kids, and I thought that was a cool connection too to another previous Acoustic Tuesday artist. Now, Front Porch is the album title, but it's also the name of probably my favorite tune on the album. There's this part in the chorus that I love. She drops to a minor. It's hard to describe, and it's not as fun to listen to when I try and describe it. So here's actually the song, Front Porch by Joy Williams.
If never you find what you're looking for, come home back to the front porch. Say my name through the screen. What you waiting for? Come on back, come on back to the front.
Needless to say, I was super excited to dig into this album, and I continue to be excited each and every time I go through the album. And I started listening to it on Spotify, then I ordered the vinyl, as, you know, proper guitar geek does. And then I was like, well, I got to get some YouTube videos for the show. So I'll just dig up some cool videos and share them with you all. And the first thing, I press play on the first one I see, and I said to myself, I said, Sam! Now, that might not mean anything to you, so let me explain. So Sam Howard is playing bass in all these videos, and I'm pretty sure he may have played bass on the recording. I actually didn't check the liner notes. But Sam Howard, I first met Sam, this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I played with Tony Furtado here in town. Sam was playing bass with Tony. And then later on, I mean, fast forward just to last year, Noah and I and the Acoustic Life crew were at the Molly Tuttle show here in Bozeman. And I look on stage and I go, I'll be damned. There's Sam playing bass with Molly Tuttle. And it's a good thing, because when I tried to talk to Molly afterwards, I just could only talk to Sam because I was just, major fanboy. Anyways, and then I'm watching Joy Williams stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, Sam. So Sam, I'm looking forward to what you have cooked up for us next. Sam's an awesome bass player, a hell of a nice guy, and he rocks just a hell of a mustache as well. The guy's just, he's all over the place and super talented. So special hello from Acoustic Tuesday to you, Sam. And last but certainly not least, I've got another song that I thought was really cool because I actually like Sam's playing in this particular song. So let's listen to the tune When Creation Was Young. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty of the albums. So Joy has a couple solo albums out. The first one was released back in 2015. It's entitled Venus. And this one is, I would say, more on the electronic kind of, it's more in the electronic realm. It's not one that is like my first listen to from her, but I think it's really cool because it shows how diverse she can be as an artist and a songwriter. And check this out, in 2016, she followed that up with an acoustic version of that album with all the same songs done acoustically, which is outstanding. And then, of course, the album I've been just loving on so much, and that is Front Porch, released in May of 2019, again produced with Kenneth Pattengill from the Milk Carton Kids. And just, start to finish, this album is incredible. I've listened to it probably 30 times, one after another. And Noah and I even had an argument earlier today about my favorite part of one of the songs.
Well, we didn't have an argument about your favorite part. It was,
well,
I just had a difference of opinion on what maybe the best part of the song was.
Which I think, I think you're wrong. I think the part that I like is the best part.
I know you do.
It's the part in Front Porch where she's like, whenever you find.
I know. Da, 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 da. When it switches to the minor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I prefer like the vocal trills.
Yeah.
You know, where right before that, she does like a little drop down of like a. That is not meant at all to sound anything like Joy. She's far beyond anything I could ever.
Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, Joy better be getting concerned because between Noah and I, we clearly have the vocals nailed. thanks Joy for making amazing music. And if you want to learn more about Joy Williams and her music, please visit acousticlife.tv/1896. And I wanted to mention, if you like Joy's music, I've got a couple other artists that I just wanted to share with you. And that is, back on episode 3, we featured Caitlin Canty. If you like the solo female singer-songwriter type, you would totally love Caitlin's stuff. Again, episode 3. And then on episode 60, we featured Sierra Farrell. Now, I'm not saying these are all identical in terms of these three artists, but I think if you're on that kind of strong woman front person, kind of acoustic-driven music, Sierra and Caitlin would be great follow-ups to Joy Williams' stuff. So make sure to check them out as well. We're nearly done here, but we do have one single important item of business to discuss, and that is your Guitar Geek trivia answer. Just as a reminder, here was the question. Where did the UK band UB40 get their band name? Was it A, an offshoot of WD-40, B, the lead singer's father's initials and birth year, C, a government unemployment form, or D, the underbridge speed limit in the UK? Well, contrary to some of my amazing answers that I came up with, if you answered C, a government unemployment form, you are correct. The band members began as friends who knew each other from various schools across Birmingham, England. The name UB40 was selected in reference to a form issued to people claiming unemployment benefits from the UK government's Department of Employment. The designation UB40 stood for Unemployment Benefit Form 40. UB40 began in mid-1978. 8 musicians formed a band and decided on the name UB40 after a friend suggested it was an appropriate name given the unemployment status of all the band members. I thought that was kind of a funny answer. And Noah, actually, I got to give you kudos for that question.
Oh, yeah?
Noah's like, what about a question on UB40 and their band name and some government form? And I was like, what are you talking about? I just know them from Red Red Wine.
Right.
And I'm like, they're not really acoustic, but it's still music geeky, and I think it's a fantastic trivia question.
Well, thank you, because yeah. I thought it was cool.
Indeed, it is cool. Well, that nearly puts Acoustic Tuesday episode number 96 to bed. We've tucked it in. We've read it a story. We've made sure the fan's on so it has background noise and it can gently fall asleep and escape into dreamland. So let's take a quick sneak peek and see what's going to happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week, I'll play a bit of banjo for you. Like, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting, so you're not gonna want to miss it. And find out how to safely get your guitar through another summer season of campfires, camping, and festivals. You're not gonna want to miss next week's episode of Acoustic Tuesday. We thank you for joining this week's episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv and check out all the guitar geek goodness that awaits you there. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. Thank you for being a guitar geek. And thank you for just being an acoustic music lover. We appreciate you watching. We appreciate you commenting. And again, we appreciate you subscribing and liking the Acoustic Tuesday show. Thank you so much. And don't forget, Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers.